choose to come to a higher level. Choose to move from where you are into my presence. Choose to let my glory consume you. Choose me, saith the Lord, over all the things of the world, above all the pressures, all the worries. Choose me, says God, for I will give you life. I will give you peace. I will direct your steps. I will show you my light in the midst of the darkness. For I said the darkness will not overcome my light. For I am far greater than what you can even imagine, says God. I am far greater than what you have experienced to this point. For you've only touched me. You've only entered into the edges of my glory. Oh, but one day. For even the church thinks that it has revelation of my Son. They think they understand Jesus. And even those who have tapped into his glory, those who have tapped into healing ministries, to teaching ministries, to deliverance ministries, they have only begun to tap. They have no idea of who I am, says God. But I am going to reveal myself, and I'm going to show myself strong. For you think it's all up to you, but there will come that day when my Son will be revealed. When he comes back with all the chariots and the hosts of heaven, when all of glory itself fills the heavens, then people will begin to realize this is God. For as yet you've not seen that. You've seen my mercy. You've seen my compassion. You've seen my forgiveness. You've seen some of my power. But in that day of my glory, says God, all darkness will disappear. My light will consume all that isn't light. In that day, oh, the heavens will declare my glory, for they shall be full of who I am. You see a shadow dimly. You see a doorway that's cracked open. But oh, in that day, says God, you will know me even as I now know you. And you will see me as I really am. Praise you, Father. Glory. Glory to you, Father. Glory. And those who would begin to tap in now, you can have some experiences. You can have healings. You can have miracles. You can have peace of mind. But these are all temporary things. It's just a taste of what I have in store for you. It's a glimmer of what I have prepared, says God. For you cannot begin to understand it if I would begin to share it with you. Oh, I am so much more. Didn't I say in my word, I can do more than you can think, ask, or imagine? In your wildest imaginations, you are still limited by the structures of this earth, the structures of the natural things. But I'm the one who put all those in place. They cannot exist without my word. For I spoke and all these things came into existence. You think you have tapped into some of the wisdom of the natural things, but you have not begun to tap into my resources, says God. For the Creator is so much grander than the creation. So come and walk with me. come and spend time with me. And I'll show you this and that. And yet even as you see these small things, you'll come to know the greater one who is above and beyond all that you see and can experience in this realm. Come unto me. Walk with me. I'll set you free. Oh, have no fear. Have no doubt. I will make myself real to you in ways that only you can understand. But come to me, says God. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. For my burden is light and my yoke is easy, says the Lord. Thank you, Father.
You know, some of you weary and you're weary in your flesh. And I don't know that this is a word of the Lord, but it's a word of the Lord to you. If you'll just push past your flesh, you can go deeper into the Spirit. But you have to push your flesh sometimes. Sometimes after there's prayer and there's different things, and it's just like, well, I'm done. It's time to move on. It's not time to move on. It's time to stay in the Spirit. And sometimes we have to push our flesh down. We have to tell our flesh we're going on with God. Because it's so easy just to say, well, I'm tired. Don't go there. God is calling us up to a place, a higher level. He's calling us into His arms, into a place where He desires for us to go. And you can only go there by the Spirit. Only by the Spirit. So press past your flesh, because I know you get tired. I know you sometimes you think, we just need to move on. No, your flesh just wants to stop.
That's right.
That's the truth.
That's good.
And you need to press on a little further. And you know what that means? Opening your mouth and sound coming out.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And not
Amen.
Just standing there maybe waving your hand. Sound coming out of your
yes.
your mouth to worship God, whether it's in the Spirit or in English. Sound.
Yes.
You got can push on, push through, push
Christ
through.
Jesus.
I push through. God is waiting there this morning. He's waiting for you. He is here. And you just might need to take that next step. But we need to take that next step. He wants greater. He wants more for us, for you, for me, for all of us. But we must push through the flesh. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Let's just worship a little longer while we're praying here.
Praise God. Then you're ready for the word. Amen. Okay, are you ready? Let's get ready. Our favorite verse is 2 Corinthians 2:14 for our visitors. We've been doing this for about 3 years now. At the end of this year will be 3 years, and we have seen miracles in this. We have seen healings. We've seen miraculous things happen because of this verse. So here it is, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Amen. That is so wonderful. I'm kind of continuing the series that we've been on about revealing the sons of God. But I want to go into a little bit different direction this time. And I'll come up with a new name for the series. But I want to go into this a little bit different. Out of this 2 Corinthians 2:14. The focus that the Lord's given me for this section of this series is His knowledge. Diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. You know, we come to God, and a lot of times we have our opinions. We have how we think God's going to work and how we think God ought to do things. And we really don't have His knowledge. And until you have His knowledge, you're coming at the situation incorrectly. You're not coming clearly because you're coming with your understanding, and God has a whole different view on a lot of things than what you or I do. So we've got to have his knowledge to walk into these things and to experience these things. One of the verses that we've been honing in on for the last several weeks is Romans 8, 18 and 19. And you can go there with me. I'm going to draw a few things out. I think this morning I'm just going to talk about two scriptures because we don't have time to go further than that. But Romans 8, 18 and 19, it says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Now, he's contrasting two things. He's contrasting our sufferings and the glory of God. And he says, when you compare the two, our sufferings don't matter at all. What matters is the glory of God. He says, "For compared with the glory which shall be," future tense, "shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." Now, the old King James Version says the manifestation. I don't know what other versions might use, but manifestation is a good term, but it's different because what I'm going to show you out of 1 John here in a minute, the words are a little bit different on it. Paul is talking in Romans about a revealing. The word in Strong's Concordance is 602, apocalypsis, which I thought this morning is kind of like apocalyptic, but I don't know if it has the same root or not, but it hit me this morning. Boy, that kind of sounds the same, but it's apocalypsis. It is to uncover or to make known or to show forth. It's like you're laying in bed and God just pulls back the covers. There you are. Glory. Hallelujah. God is getting ready. And all creation is waiting for God to pull the covers back on us. Because creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Now that says a whole bunch of things in it. One, that there is a glory that has not yet been revealed in us. There's more to us than what we see. There's more going on than what we are aware of because we haven't been revealed yet. You know, when you know who you are, I mean, you go to grade school and start school and say, "Well, what's your name?" And you give them your name. Now, why do you give them your name and not somebody else's name? That's who you are. You know, I don't give you somebody else's name because that's not me. I give you my name. This is part of the revealing of yourself kind of to the world. I am so-and-so. Oh, and if you live in a small community, "Oh, well, you're so-and-so's child, aren't you? You brought your mom and your daddy are this." And you go, "Yeah." And sometimes that's good. And sometimes, like, they already got my number, and I just showed up. This is the first day of school, and they already know my lineage. It's like, you know, but God already knows your lineage. But see, God is, we've got to learn the lineage. We've got to know to whom we belong. And so there's that revealing. And part of that is even a revealing to yourself, because you know some things about you, but there's a lot of things you really don't know. There's a lot of things God has tucked away and hidden on the inside of you, and you think you know, you really don't know. You don't know how far you can go with God, for example. You don't know what God could do with your life if you really gave it over to him. You don't really know the healing, the power that can flow when you lay your hands on people. You really don't have a clue. But you hope. You dream. Boy, if only God would do this, I could. He has, and you can, if you believe. See, this is part of the unveiling. Not only is it an unveiling to the world, it's an unveiling to us to see who we really are. Now we see in part. Then we shall know him even as he knows us. That's an extraordinary thought. So there's a glory that has not yet been revealed in us, that what you see of Christ in you. Now think about this. What you see of Christ in you is not all there is. Wherever you have come from to where you are right now, that's not all there is. There's more to come. Preview of coming attractions. There's more ahead of you than what you have experienced up to this date. Do you believe that? God has more. not less, more. You know, God always wants to increase. Oh, Lord. But with the increase comes blessing. Now, you can think of increase as a negative thing. Well, Lord, I don't want to bear anymore. So, well, part of the reason we're tired is we're not bearing it the right way. We're trying to carry it instead of letting God carry it. We're trying to do things. We're trying to accomplish things rather than letting God work through us to do what He wants to do. When life becomes a burden, you're not living right. You're not believing right. You're not acting right because your emphasis is on you and what you can do and not what God can do. I'm not stepping on your toes yet, but we may. In other words, there's more to come. It must also mean that right now the sons of God are not fully revealed. If Paul is writing to the church and he says all creation is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God, then it means that not all has yet been revealed. But to whom? See, God knows you. God knows everything about you. God knows your plans, or the plans He has for your life. God knows what He has ahead for you. He knows all these things. You don't know, but there's somebody else that doesn't know. And that somebody else that doesn't know is the world system. It doesn't know. If they would have known who Jesus was, they would not have crucified Him. If they would have known that He was going to rise from the dead, they wouldn't have killed Him. If they knew that He would have defeated Satan in hell, they wouldn't have killed Him. If they knew that He would be ascended to the throne of God and seated at the right hand of majesty, they would not have crucified Him. They would have let Him live a normal life. They would have let Him heal as many people as He wanted to heal. They would have let Him cast out all the devils He wanted to cast out. They would have let Jesus become king. Because then He would have, I guess, died. Become part of history. Just disappear. And good men would write books. We would argue about the authenticity of the books written about Jesus, the man. Oh, if they had only known. The worst thing they could have done to themselves was to kill Jesus. Because He did defeat the devil in hell. He was raised from the dead. He did ascend to the heaven. And all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Him. I love it in Colossians where it says He led captivity captive. I don't know what picture that conjures up in your mind, but I can just see, come on, devil, just dragging Him along. Man, I'm taking captivity, the one who thought, I can control all things. I intimidate men. I put fear into their heart. They run at the sound of my voice. Come here. And just for good measure, maybe Jesus every once in a while just turned around and go, just kicked some dirt in His faith. He's like, you came as a worm into the earth to start with, so I'm going to remind you, worms eat dirt. Poof. I just wonder. I don't know. But I know the devil's scared of Him, and I know the devil's scared of you. Because He knows something about you that you don't know. You live in Christ. As a believer, you live in Christ. And every time you show up, the devil gets nervous. If they only understood who they were. I hope they don't go to that church. Because if they go to that church, they'll find out who they are. I hope they don't read that book, because if they read that book, they'll find out who I am. And if they find out who I am, the toothless lion who goes about roaring to see who he could devour. That right there tells me devil doesn't have the opportunity to come in your life and do whatever he wants to. He has to check you out. Can I get you today? Huh? Can I?
I'm going, rawr. He's laughing. I guess that, okay, it's not the day to pick on him. I'll go over on this side, rawr. You know, he always starts that kind of small, rawr. If you jump, what was that? Rawr. Whoa, 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 rawr. It's like, he's got no teeth. He's been declawed. The only thing he can do is sit on you. He said, well, lion's a lot bigger. Yeah, they can weigh 300-400 pounds maybe, but you can push them off. It's a cat. He's not, well, I guess he is technically the cat from hell, but but he has no power. See, once you realize who he is, when he shows up, you'll be like Smith Wigglesworth, who the devil showed up to him one night and started shaking the bed, and I'm the devil, I'm going to do all this, and everything. He shook the bed all the way over across the room, and finally Smith Wigglesworth said, devil, get out of here, I'm tired, I want to sleep. And the devil left. And then he started thinking about it. This is in England. You've got to understand England. That most houses, even today, have one heating source. And it's downstairs, and they have open grates to the upstairs to heat the upstairs. Well, if the furnace goes off, if the fire goes out of the fireplace, there's no heat. Smith Wigglesworth was in early, 1900s? He's sleeping upstairs. He's starting to think, it's cold. I'm going to have to get out of my bed and move my bed back to where it was. He said, I don't want to get out of bed. Devil, get back here! Have you ever known anybody to call the devil into his room? He knew who he was, and he knew who the devil was. He said, devil, get back here. Put my bed back where it was, and the bed started shaking and vibrating until it vibrated back to where it was. He said, now you can leave. You have power you don't know about. It hasn't been revealed yet, but it's going to be. Amen. Now go with me to 1 John chapter 3. Glory to God. I tell you, if we really understood who we were, you wouldn't be where you are. 1 John chapter 3, first three verses. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world, listen, the world does not know us. Now what did I say earlier? The world system doesn't know who you are because it hasn't been revealed yet. He says right here in 1 John 3, verse 1, the world does not know us because, why doesn't it know who you are? Because it doesn't know who Jesus is. Because it did not know him. Beloved, now, everyone say now. Now. Now, not sometime in the future. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, now you are the children of God. Did you get now? Who's your daddy? God. He says, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, Jesus, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, not as he was, as he is. That's a new revelation. You know, we see Jesus sitting on a throne. We still see him in a physical body sitting on the throne of God because that's all we can imagine. John saw Jesus fire from the loins up, fire from the loins down with the appearance of a man. And even that is not the full revelation of Jesus. He says, when he is revealed, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now here it uses the word revealed. It's a different word. It's in Strong's, it's 5319. It's phaneroo. I don't know what that sounds like, but phaneroo. It means to be manifested. Now see, the first revelation is God's going to pull back the covers. The world is waiting for the covers to be pulled back. This is a little bit different. This isn't just to be uncovered. This is to be manifested. It's pulling back the covers and you be. I mean, you just be. Well, who are you? I'm Jesus. I'm filled with his glory. The same glory that raised him from the dead raised you from the dead and caused you to be born again. Same glory. Lord, I need more of you. You got the same glory. You just don't know it. You haven't got it figured out yet. It's the same glory that raised Jesus from the dead. Listen, in that glory, it destroys darkness. It destroys sin. It destroys sickness. It destroys that same glory is at work in us, giving life to our mortal bodies. That same glory of God has not diminished because God doesn't change. It's the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same glory, can you get it? Pull back the covers. Bing! I mean, you just shine like the sun. See, we're saying, God, take back the covers. God says, you're not ready for it. Transfigured. Remember when they saw Jesus transfigured? They could make out who he was, but he was transfigured. He shone like the sun. They didn't know what to do with him. Let's build three tents. You know, that's what we think. Let's create something to put God inside. God says, I'm too big. Isn't it amazing? God fits in you, and he's so much bigger. He created the universe, and yet he's larger than the universe. I'll throw in a little bit of science for you. Do you know they have found the edge of creation? I'm serious. They can track out into space. Now, you know light, it takes, what, a light year is so far away. But somehow, because we don't know how the light of the stars got to Earth if it's only been created in 6,000 years, but they have found the edge of the universe or the galaxies or space. They found a physical edge. In other words, this is not unlimited. This is not forever. This is like Men in Black, where they open the locker door and you look out and you think all there is your world, and you realize I'm one of a million lockers in this bus station. Now, I'm not saying that's how it is. I'm just saying that's how limited we are. God is so far beyond us and so far above us that we're just this little thing. Because we, in our wisdom and our knowledge, we have found the edge of existence. So this is not all there is. By that very fact, it tells us intellectually there is something else out there. And it's not space aliens, but it is an alien. His name is Yahweh. His name is Yeshua. It is the I am that I am, and I am beyond all that you can see or experience or know, because I'm bigger than it, because I created it, I spoke it. He spoke it into existence, the Big Bang. Light be, boom, was. See, this is God. He says, we are now the sons of God, but the world does not know us because we're not fully revealed. To be revealed here means to be revealed in one's true character. The root word of it is to shine. I like that. The glory of God shines. The power of God shines. It glows. It glistens. And the root word of this is we are going to shine. When we are revealed, when we begin to shine with the glory of God. Well, when's that going to happen? When Jesus returns. When he comes back with the host of heaven, he's going to shine with the glory of God. And all the world, no matter where you are on the planet, the whole world at the same time is going to see Jesus. I mean, not this goes beyond locality. This, the whole world, no matter where you are, North Pole, South Pole, you're going to see Jesus the moment he returns. It's not going to be, oh, I see him come mean. No, I see him come. All at one time. That's how big, how awesome, how beyond our imagination, God is, and that's just a small part of it. But there's going to be that revelation that this, we are now the sons of God, yet we are not fully revealed, we are not fully uncovered, we are not fully manifested. Our unveiling will occur when Jesus is fully revealed. Now, I'm going to end here because next week I want to get into, I'll give you a preview, a tease. Next week we're going to get into I'll put it like this. A controversial statement I made several weeks ago, and I don't know if you know it's controversial, but I know it's controversial. We said several weeks ago, without God, there is no awareness of sin or separation from God, because in darkness there is no light. We're going to talk next Sunday about what distinguishes you and the world system that doesn't recognize you yet. What separates you? It's not just what you think it is. What separates you? What distinguishes you from everybody else? What is it that God wants to reveal in you that the world cannot see? And why can't the world see it? We're going to get into these things. It's fascinating. You'll love it. What makes me different? How come? I'll give you this other tease. How? I love this. I'm so excited to get into this stuff. How come the world and all of its sin doesn't? It has no awareness of its sin, and Christians who have been purged from their sin, have been forgiven from their sin, always go around knowing every sin and every mistake we've ever made. How come we're so consumed with making a mistake and the world that is consumed in sin has no awareness that they're doing anything wrong? It shouldn't be that way. But it's part of understanding the revelation of the sons of God. Okay, you ready to stand up? Have I teased you enough? So you need to come next Sunday, part two. Praise you, Father. Lord, we thank you that there is more in us than what we are aware of. We thank you, Father, that you live in us as believers, as people who have called on your name. Lord, no matter where we're walking, no matter what we've been through, God, if we have called on your name, we are born again, and you dwell within us. Lord, help us to recognize who you are in us, that we can be conformed to your image, that we could walk in your likeness, in your power, free from the limitations of this world, free from condemnation, free from judgment, free from all those things, Father, that we could be one with you. Father, we give you praise that you have chosen us. If we were the only person left in the world, Jesus would still die for us, because he wants us to have fellowship with the Father. God, we thank you for this love that you have for us, and we respond to you, Father, by declaring you are Lord of our lives. You are in control of who we are and how we live, because we know your goodness toward us. For this, God, we give you praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you.